It's great to be back this evening to share another portion of God's Word, to study through a fun topic that I enjoyed. I enjoyed my studying on the faithfulness of the Father. We're going to be talking about the faithfulness of the Father through His person, through His promises, as well as through His performance. We'll look at the Thessalonian letter. If you'll go ahead and turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And in this letter from the pen of Paul, he wrote to the church that was experiencing great spiritual growth. They're giving, loving congregation that's active and growing and reaching out. So what we see in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, what Paul writes to end this second epistle to the Thessalonican church: finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And then, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So, even if they were a church that was on the rise, a church that was growing, a church that was doing things the right way, we still find that they've found persecution. Most Christians will find persecution. It's been promised to us. But in verse 3, I like the emphasis is here, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful to us. The Lord is faithful in His person. The Lord is faithful in His person. We're going to look at quite a few different scriptures this evening that talk about the faithfulness of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. You say, why would you use that? Because we see jealous and we automatically think of something that's bad. We referenced this a few months back, that the jealousy that God has is a pure jealousy. His desire is for us to be obedient to Him and to only Him. So if we're going to understand His person, we understand that He is a consuming fire, that He is a jealous God. But while we see that He's a jealous God in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31, we see that He is a merciful God. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that He swore to them. Our God is a God that keeps His promises. He is a God that is merciful and wants as many to come to heaven as possible. But it's up to us to obey the terms. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 15, for the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and He destroy you from the face of the earth. We have a God that should be feared, and that fear is a healthy respect. We don't need to shudder when we come into the church building, or let a fear of God keep us from attending services or events, but we do need to understand that God deserves the highest form of respect that we can possibly give. To Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. We have an impartial Father. We have a God who is faithful to us, that is not a respecter of persons, that we can know we all stand evenly at the foot of the cross. No advantages or disadvantages when it comes to spirituality. We can all study the Word of God, and we can all be obedient to it. So we look to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. We sing, leaning on the everlasting arms. We have a faithful God who part of who He is someone we can rely on, that in Him is our dwelling place, that in His arms are everlasting arms. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, we see, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We have a God who is faithful to us and will be faithful to us always. If there is a separation between us and God, it will be on us, it won't be on God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 9, for if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn His face from you if you return to Him. We see God's desire here for people that stray to come back to God the Father. In Job 36 and verse 5, "Behold, God is mighty and does not despise any. He is mighty in strength of understanding." We have a patient God, a strong and mighty God that even the vilest of sinners, He wants to return to being right with Him. And we can reference the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of the church. And God wanted him badly, and he was obedient to the gospel. In the 7th Psalm in verse 11, God is a just judge. He passes judgment daily against the person who does evil. He judges the righteous. He's angry with the wicked. But He's a God that will take care of those who love and respect Him. We find He's our refuge. In the 46th Psalm in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. God is ready to be there for us to lean on Him, to lean on those everlasting arms, to be our refuge, to be our strength. That is who God is. The 47th Psalm in verse 7, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with psalm." He's the King of all the earth. The 54th Psalm in verse 4, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life." He is our helper. We've been given everything we need to be right with God. If that's not help, I don't know what is. The 68th Psalm in verse 20, "Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong the deliverances from death." It is because of God that we have eternal salvation. It's part of who He is. The 75th Psalm in verse 7, "But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another." We find here that our God is that ultimate judge. It's going to be, we decide where we're going to spend eternity, but He will be that perfect, almighty judge. The 99th Psalm in verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." He is set apart, He is sanctified, He is different, He is not common. In the 116th Psalm in verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful." We find three attributes in this one verse. He is gracious, He is righteous, and He is merciful. John 3:33, "Whoever receives His testimony sets His seal to this, that God is true." We have a true and an honest God. And in John 4 verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." This is one thing that differentiates New Testament worship from Old Testament worship. Old Testament worship, they had things they had to do. If you sin, okay, I'll bring this. So they could bring a goat and not necessarily have the best attitude. And it would be slaughtered as the old law had stated. But in the New Testament, we don't need to just show up and then think about football. We need to show up and put our focus on God. We need to worship in spirit and in truth. I think the batteries are going out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." God is able to do these things with grace toward us. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God is light, the brightest light that there is. If we compare darkness to evilness, there is no darkness in God. We can follow the light to eternity. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him." That'll preach. That could have been a sermon in and of itself. The Lord is good, first point. A stronghold in the day of trouble, second point. Third point, He knows those who take refuge in Him. So that's a freebie if you ever need to preach. Nahum 1:7. So what we find is the Word identifies God and the Faithful One. That is why He is called Amen in Revelation 3:14. He is the firm and faithful, and let it be, and it is. He is the God who never changes. He is the God who never fails. And He has always been and ever will be the great I Am. He is faithful in His person. We see that God is also faithful in His promises. God is faithful in His promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, we find, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." Since we understand that God is faithful, He can be counted on. He can be counted on by His word. And Paul reminded the people in Thessalonica that God will establish you and keep you from evil. The word "keep" means to guard, and it carries the idea of protection. Because God is faithful, we know that we have a God who will stay true to us. We also find in the 138th Psalm in verse 2, "I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name." So what we find is God will stand by His word. His word will be magnified. It will be the only thing we'll be judged by on the day of judgment. In Numbers 23 and verse 19, we read, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent what He has said, and shall He not do it, or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it?" We find that God is not like humans. We make our promises, and we cannot always stand by them. God is not like us at all. What He says He will do those things because He cannot lie. God is a God that keeps His promises. Regardless of the realm of life, the Lord God can be trusted to stand by His promises. He will save you if you'll come to Him. John 3:16, Romans 10:9 and 10, 1 Peter 3:21. He will keep you and take you to heaven when this life is over. John 6:37 through 40 and verse 44. He will hear you when you call on Him. Jeremiah 3:33, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. He will walk with you every step of the way to glory. Hebrews 13:5 and Matthew 28:20. He is faithful in His performance. Every promise that He has ever kept, He will keep. We have a God that can be relied upon. When we look to God for His performance, we do not have a record of how the Lord honored His promises to the church in Thessalonica. But we can have the confidence that He did. After all, just as surely as God is love, God is also faithful. The Bible has much to say about the faithfulness of God, and we can look through these passages that talk about His performance. In the 36th Psalm in verse 5, His faithfulness is unlimited. "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the clouds, being it goes as far as the sky, and if not higher." His faithfulness is unlimited to us. The 89th Psalm in verse 33, "His faithfulness is unfailing. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." In Lamentations 5:22 through 23, "His faithfulness is abounding. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great," is supposed to say, "is Thy faithfulness," not "they faithfulness." "Great is Thy faithfulness." So the conclusion of the lesson, what we find throughout these pages, the pages of the Bible, is that friends will fail us, but God is faithful. Family will fail us, but God is faithful. Funds will fail, but God is faithful. Feelings will fail, but God is faithful. Faith may fail, but God is faithful. When we miss the mark, it's not because God moved. It's because we have strayed from the faithful path. The Father is faithful in His person, who God is. His very essence, His very being is faithfulness, is love, is goodness. The Father is faithful in His promises. If He is good, If He is love, He will keep His promises, which He does. And the Father is faithful in His performance. It's not just lip service. If God says something is going to happen, it will happen. God will make sure of it. God will be that judge. We're not going to have Satan be our judge. If God says He's going to be the judge, He will be the judge. And His performance will be along the lines of what we learn in Scripture. So this evening, if you are not a Christian, become a Christian. Don't hesitate. If you have doubts about your salvation, doubt no more. Do whatever it takes to get right with God this evening. If you are a Christian and you're suffering, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need help in any spiritual way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.